When we're children and we grow ever so slowly, and it's not really, it's subtle. Most of our family around us don't even notice how much we grow. It's when our grandparents or great-grandparents see us after a long period of time, they see us and go, oh my gosh, you've grown so much. Of course, we ourselves rarely even perceive it. It's true of most of life. We grow ever so slowly, subtly. We mature emotionally, mentally. We get a little bit smarter slowly. We add and add, ever so subtly, ever so measured along the way. And there are occasions when there's a spurt of growth in our life. It can be occasioned by a trauma, and the growth can be immediate. It demands immediate attention. It could be a negative thing, such as the death of a loved one or a spouse, and we immediately are shocked by that, and we end up having to emotionally respond and grow up a little bit. And it's hard sometimes, but it does bring in and usher in enormous growth. It also happens to us in a positive way. We have this mountaintop experience that's fantastic. It just is an incredible experience for us, and we just grow enormously. I suspect the missionaries who are just coming back had just had that experience of being away, and it was just an incredible experience, and there's this massive growth. It also happens to us communally in society, not just individually, but as a group. For example, for all of us who were alive at 9/11, even just that, just two numbers, we all know where we are, what happened, what is symbolized, and here it is like some 17 years later. And it changed us. It transformed not only just us individually, but also as a culture. We can't fly the same way anymore. There's a complete change. If you would, the whole of society has transformed internationally because of one singular event. We no longer look naively at any potential threat of terrorism. Today we hear in the scripture two pivotal moments, two transfiguration moments, two transformations that take place, two moments where there's enormous growth for the individual. One is the individual and the other is a group of individuals. The first one is that of Abraham. Abraham is something unthinkable of us, but God actually, it says, God puts him to the test and asks him to sacrifice his son. Now, for those of us who are, we can't even consider this. This is just seems an outrageous. What sort of God would sacrifice it? But we have to understand what actually happened. What actually happens here is God ends up not actually asking him to sacrifice. He was asking him to sacrifice his attachment to his son. His attachment that was maybe overly attached to his son and his security and his prosperity in the future. And that's what, there was this enormous growth, and Abraham matures spiritually in radical ways and grows and goes on to be one of the heroes and the fathers of Judaism and indeed of our own ancestry. But then in the gospel, we hear another transfiguration, another moment of transformation. And this one's on the top of a mountain. We hear that the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they experience Jesus transfigured before them with Moses and Elijah representing the law and the prophets. And in this moment, they're changed forever because this voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Both of these groups are changed, completely radically changed by that experience. They're never the same. Abraham is never the same from that moment with his son, and Peter, James, and John are never the same from this moment onwards. They didn't always understand what had happened, but they were completely different. You and I have moments like that in our lives. Sometimes they're They're smaller moments. Sometimes they're bigger moments. Like all of the missionaries, and I suspect people who've been on other mission trips, are life-changing events. We are simply never the same again. We think of people differently. We think of people who are in need differently. We simply think of our own lives differently. We are transfigured. We are completely transformed by your willingness to give up of that time away. The elect, the soon-to-be the elect, are tonight going to be transfigured. This is the moment of their Lenten journey. It goes public, if you would. This will be a moment which you will remember, the moment which will become, hopefully, the pivot by which you now move towards Easter and the sacraments where you'll be united with the church. And it's one of those moments where you'll remember the beginning of this journey with great, hopefully with great fondness. And says, that was when I really took the public step of wanting to be a member of the church. But for all of us, it's not just about the mountaintop experience or about some radical experience that's negative in our life. Every moment is an opportunity to transfigure. And why is that? It's when we listen. This is the key to the scripture gospel passage. Is what does he say? What does the voice from heaven say? It says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." It is in the listening to Jesus that they are transfigured. It is in the listening to that their lives are forever different. It was the listening of Abraham to God call out, "Abraham, Abraham." In the listening, they were transformed. You and I can have that transformation experience every single day. If only we will listen to what God is asking of us. And some days it will be big. Some days we have a moment or go on a journey or go on a mission trip. But most often for most of us, it's just the really small things that the Lord asks us to do. To be kind and gentle. To be forgiving. To allow room for people to make mistakes. To be forgiving in every way we possibly can. Why? Because when we hear Jesus, that's what he asks us to do. Forgive them. Love them. Be gentle to them. Encourage them. Love them. Today, my friends, we all seek the transformation of the transfiguration. And we can, if only we will listen to Jesus.